an intersection years ago. The Lord dealt with me. A teacher called me about a little, two little boys she had in brothers in her class. They're different ages when all this had not been promoted. They were very difficult. They have a very difficult family. And I'm just, you know, in agreement. I'm just saying, just comforting her. She obviously had a struggle with them. And when I hung up the phone, the Lord dealt with me and said, some children will never get prayer their entire life. And you know, there are people who will never get out of their trauma, never get out of their dilemma unless you pray. You're providing for them great escape. Now let's look at the book of Job. Prayer, especially praying for others, provides the escape that they need, provides the deliverance and the freedom that they need. We're going to talk today about the intercession of Jesus. I'm going to give you some data that will help you as you pray for others. Chapter 9 of Job. I love Job. Now, people trip over the book of Job because of the first chapter in this little verse that said there was none perfect and upright like Job. And so they interpret perfect and upright that he was a man without sin, but you have to go to the scriptures as all of sin to come short of the glory of God. He was not without sin. As you read the book of Job, you realize he had some flaws in his thinking that he didn't understand the nature of Almighty God. He comes to chapter 9 of Job, and it's a marvelous, marvelous moment in Job's life. Verse 33. Or verse 32, we'll start. Talking about God is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, we should come together in judgment. Neither is any basement betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. One translation says, would that there were. He's talking about a need that he had. Look at verse 28. I'm afraid of all my sorrows. I know thou wilt not hold me innocent. He knew his sin. He knew his need. He didn't know how to solve that problem. And he said, if I bleached myself, it wouldn't solve the problem. And so he's looking for an escape route from sin. He's looking for a change. He's looking for a difference, a deliverer. And he calls it here a daisman. We don't use that term except in baseball, where a daisman would be an umpire. An umpire represents both sides according to established rules. And so he's looking for a daisman or an umpire. He could also use the word intercessor. And the key word there is a daisman is the word betwixt, which we would say between. He's looking for somebody that can lay one hand on him and one hand on God and bring the two together. He's looking for a great redeemer. Now, if you go on to read Job, there's another moment in his life. A lot of what Job said was a misunderstanding in his own mind about God. But he did stumble across some truth in his search for truth, in his search for deliverance and freedom. And in one section, he says, I know that my redeemer liveth. And on this earth again shall stand. A great song has been written from that passage. He's looking for a daysman. He's looking for someone between him and God who could bring the two together, and he found none. Now look at Isaiah 59. Here's another similar passage. Isaiah 59. This is a passage on sin. You read this chapter and you think, wow, my, oh dear. Really? But verse 11. Says we roar all like bears and mourn all like doves. We look for judgment, but there's none. Judgment is justice. But there's none. For salvation is far off from us. Here's again, people looking for deliverance, looking for freedom, unable to find that deliverance, unable to find that freedom. Well, if you go over, God says, verse 15, yet truth fails, and he departs from evil, making himself a prey. And the Lord saw it. It displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. God saw there was no intercessor, no daysman, no umpire, no one between man and God saw the same problem. He saw that there was none. Now this is the law of double reference in the scripture. A lot of things in the Old Testament pertain to Israel at that moment, deliverer for Israel at that moment. But they also have a futuristic sense in which they pertain to the church in the new covenant. And this verse certainly is in that law of double reference. And so he saw there's no intercessor. An intercessor is one who stands for another, stands between two people who represents another. Often the people you represent aren't interested in representation. And that helps us so much as we pray. You know, Abraham represented Sodom and Gomorrah, but Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't unhappy with sin. They weren't asking for any help. Moses represented the people of Israel before God. We had those examples last week. But nobody in Israel was asking for deliverance or freedom or salvation. In fact, they choose another leader and go back to Egypt, they had their own plan contrary to the plan of Almighty God. And so that helps me as I pray. So you don't have to want help, I just see you need it. Doesn't that help you a lot? You know, because we're looking at the people we're praying for. We're looking for some kind of dramatic change, some kind of difference in their life. Just look at the Word and look at God and continue to pray and stand until God releases you. There's a release in the Spirit as you pray. Intercession is only one type of prayer. There are a lot of ways to pray for other people. The first week praying the Scripture. I'm very strong in praying the Scripture. Scripture gives us a lot of things we can pray for other people. You see strife, you pray that their love may abound, increase, overflow, splash over on others, one translation says. You see what they need, the mind of the Lord, and go to that wonderful verse in Colossians 1 that they might know the will of God. One translator says they might know what God wants them to do, and I love that because it makes it very simple for our mind. That they have the spirit of wisdom. Ephesians says to acknowledge God, to acknowledge who he is. Now your King James says in the knowledge of God, but the translators say to the knowledge of God. They might, if they only knew, see if Job had only known who God was. He said, Job said, you know, God treats the innocent and the guilty alike. Sometimes the innocent go to court and God just laughs. But you know, that's not right. See, Job didn't have the knowledge of God. He didn't have the knowledge that you have by reading and studying the Scriptures. You have by virtue of the Holy Ghost on the inside teaching you. Well, God saw there was a need here for an intercessor, someone to represent man, someone to solve the sin problem. And this chapter, if you go back and read it, is full of different kinds of sin. But you read verse 1 where it begins, Behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So sin makes a difference in communicating with heaven. And certainly if you have a sin nature, you're not in God's kingdom, you're not God's child, it makes a radical difference. Now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're talking about Jesus, the intercessor, the one who stood for man, the mediator, he's called in Timothy, the daysman, he's called in Job. One thing about studying the Scripture, you have to learn, it doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things in many different ways. And though those words have slightly different meanings, they all are basically the same. You talk about an intercessor, you talk about a mediator, the middleman. An intercessor is one who stands for another. You talk about an umpire, a daysman is one who represents two teams and see that justice is done. So you're talking about the same concept, and that's the need. And the Old Testament man began to see that need, but they didn't know how to solve that need. They didn't know what to do. God himself said, we need an intercessor here. But you know, Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, so man's need was not a surprise to God. It says in due time. In due time, there was a season of time for Jesus to come. But in chapter 2, verse 5, there's one God and one mediator, or one umpire, or one daysman, or one intercessor between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in them, who gave himself a ransom for all. Now, when we talk about intercessory prayer, we talk about a type of prayer. It often brings travailing prayer that is a more intense prayer often that represents another. The translator says when one person goes to a second person about a third person. A third person being Sodom and Gomorrah, being the people of Israel, bringing in Daniel's day, the people of God who hadn't asked for deliverance, who hadn't asked for freedom, but Daniel saw that the Scripture had said that in 70 years the people would be released from captivity. He went to prayer based on the Scripture, and the Scripture is always the foundation of prayer. If you have not the Scripture in your heart, you're going to have a weak foundation to pray. But if I know God said he'd meet your need, and I know you really have a financial need, I'm standing not only in intercession, not only in other tongues, not only in prophetic utterance or in travailing prayer, but I'm standing on the Scripture that God promised to meet your need. Doesn't matter whether you know that or not. The fact is that I know that, and my heart is troubled to bring that truth to you and to pray to have the Spirit of wisdom along that. You know, some sick people will never get well if somebody doesn't pray. Some people cannot stand alone, cannot stand for themselves, and it's your prayer that's going to open the door for their deliverance and their freedom. And God uses us in that way. He begins to trouble our spirit. If I begin by praying the Scripture, sometimes that just satisfies me. You know you've eaten. You know you're satisfied. That doesn't mean you'll keep eating. That just means you know you are really satisfied. You really could quit. You know where I'm coming from? Y'all look so innocent out there. It's the same sense in prayer. You pray the Scripture. I pray that you have wisdom, that you have the very mind of the Lord, that God begins to teach you and show you the pathway that you should walk in. And I'm just happy with that. That just says, fine with me, I'm finished. But then there's a sense in the Spirit, troubling in the Spirit, that wasn't enough. You know, you pray for somebody, I know how to pray and have successful surgery. It says we pray with our understanding. I know how to pray with my understanding, my mind, my intellect. Sometimes that's just not enough. don't know the details. I don't know if you're trying to decide about surgery, decide about medication, decide about testing, decide about doctors. There's something else in the spirit that I don't have enough information to touch in, with my understanding, with my mind. So I continue to pray. If there's any dissatisfaction, you continue to pray. There's a point when you really do pray until you pray. You really do step into the spirit and into the presence of God on behalf of someone else so that they can be delivered and set free. And that's what Job's looking for. And that's what Isaiah was talking about. There need to be an intercessor. There need to be a mediator. There need to be somebody in the middle that can help sinful man. There was one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now turn to Isaiah 53. This is a great prophetic chapter where it talks about the death and resurrection of our Lord. Magnificent chapter. Go all the way down to verse 12. Talking about Jesus' death, talking about his resurrection, talking about what he would do for man. And this is, therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great? He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul into death. He was numbered with the transgressions. He bare the sin of many and made intercession. Made intercession. That's in the past tense. He made intercession. That's already been done for the transgressors. And that's not specifically talking about intercession, praying for another, that he's doing now at the Father's right hand. It says he's forever interceding at the Father's right hand. That's his day and night job for over 2,000 years, is to bring the needs of man before the Father. This is, he's made intercession. There was a part of his death and resurrection that was intercession. And if you understand this, it'll help you as you pray for others, as you pray in with your understanding, as you pray in other tongues. And often there's a prophetic utterance in a known tongue. There is words of English. Usually you pray, I think that's why Scripture says pray in the Spirit. You don't understand it, because usually you pray in the Spirit and suddenly there comes some understanding that you didn't have before. And the words just flow out of you like water off of over a waterfall. We were in Africa. They took us to a section where they, three big waterfalls came together. Magnificent picture. We're way over here and they're way over here. They're just falling off the top of that high mountain. One here, one here, and one here. And that's the way the words do. Well, if you don't connect with the Spirit, you wouldn't have known that, and you wouldn't have even said that in English. So that as a regular English, just because you know God, you know the situation, you know the Word, you pray and you understand, you pray the intellect. And that's good, because Scripture says that's good. You know God's Word tells the truth. That's why you pray your meal most of the time. You don't wait till the Spirit drops upon you and say, thank you for this food. Most everybody says the same thing. Take that to our body, make it wholesome, pure, in Jesus' name, amen. I mean, the inspiration, that's still true. It's still what you wanted. It's still right. It's still good. It's still orderly. But then you pray in other tongues. So often you pray in English. And sometimes even that is not sufficient. There is a deep troubling on the inside of where God wants to carry you further. There are sounds of the Spirit. The Scripture uses the word groanings. It uses the word moan. It uses the word wail. There's sounds in the Spirit that come from heaven that you release with the words. You release with your mouth without words. And God brings you to that dimension only when it's necessary. It's not always necessary. But when it's necessary, and you begin to sense that no matter how much you pray, there comes that wailing, that moaning, that travailing, that troubling like childbirth in the Spirit, and you give vent to that. See, you're standing for another. You're bringing the deliverance and the freedom. You're bringing monopoly to them. You're bringing the escape out to them. You're bringing the file and the compass to them. And you do that in prayer. And you don't have to know too much. You don't even have to know who you're praying for. Your heart can be troubled and you're just clueless. You don't know anything that's happened. You don't sense anything happened. You don't have a name. See, we're basically a nosy people. And you'll forgive me if that upsets you, but we're basically a nosy, maybe I should say curious people. One lady years and years ago, she asked me some question about my family. I said, I don't know. She said, you don't know? She said, didn't you see him? I said, yeah, well, I didn't ask him. You didn't ask him? She said, you don't want to know? I said, do I need to know? She couldn't get over that. She said, you have to understand my family structure too. You don't ask questions of my family if you're smart. But you just don't, because it's just not good. We don't have a family that shares all and knows all. It's every man for himself. And we have a lot of family secrets. And she said, I couldn't live in your family. You never know anything. Remember it to this day. I said, well, it's a good thing you're not there then, because you won't ever know anything as long as you live. That's not done in my family. Everything's swept under the rug. Nobody lifts that rug. but we're trying to figure things out and find things out. Sometimes if you have a little bit of data trying to figure things out, we go in the wrong direction. Oh, I know what this is. You could be totally completely wrong. Leave it to what God says to you. Sometimes God says something to you, and there is a sense in the spirit that you would be better off if you understood that and to pray over that. Years ago, our children were in a car accident. I was going under an intersection not far from the house. They were 11th to 12th grade. And I heard the words in the spirit. I heard them from down here. They'd both be together. Well, Suzanne didn't always go to school with Joel. That day, I'd asked Joel to take out the garbage. He had the garbage in the back of his truck. He got down to the first intersection where there's a traffic light forgotten. You know, to dump the garbage. So he goes all the way back to the house, dumps the garbage. Now he's in a hurry. And in a hurry, the car in front of him turned right on red, and he assumed that the light was green. He didn't look at it because they had moved. He moved and went across the intersection and got hit by a motorized crane. And Suzanne fell for about 8 days. It was a real trauma. But see, God began to move on me. Those were words he wanted me to figure out. Those were words he wanted me to stand in the spirit. He said to me 3 times on that very intersection. And I let those words slip past me. Thank God he rescued us. Some other people had been praying. And when I called them to pray, they said, I've been praying for you children. What's happened? They knew before I called that something happened. So God has mercy upon us. What a merciful Father. And intercession is based on the mercy of God. Everywhere you see somebody praying for another, you'll see the mercy of God. When you see Abraham praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, a Lot was reluctant to leave Sodom and Gomorrah. He was so reluctant, he was so upset, and the angel said, because God had mercy, took him by the hand. And God's a merciful Father. His mercy endures forever. Micah says his anger is but for a moment. But his mercy endures forever. He said, the people of Israel, he said to Moses, he said, how long are these people going to provoke me? You know, that's a profound question. I want to ask that to a couple people. I'll say, how long are you going to irritate me like this? You know what I'm saying? Five times he said, won't you go away? No, it's never a stranger. We're used to strangers and used to friends, but it's usually your family. You know, you think, are you finished? Are you quite through? Have you said enough? Y'all don't do that, right? Now, y'all know it's the only few people I've ever talked to. It's actually a teacher since 1977. You're an amazing group that you don't stumble into sin. Let me read you verse 12 from the ERV translation. For this reason, I will treat him as one of my great people. I will give him, talking about Jesus, the rewards of one who wins in battle. He will share with his powerful ones, that's you who come into the kingdom because of his work. I will do this because he gave his life for the people. He was considered a criminal, but the truth is, he carried away the sins of many. Now he will stand before me and speak for those who have sinned. He will stand before me. An intercession is when you stand before God on behalf of another. But Jesus, as a great intercessor, didn't just stand for you. He didn't just go to God and speak words. He stood in your place. Years ago in the newspaper was a lady that took her to court. I think they came and arrested her. She had a stack and stack of traffic tickets. She just totally ignored them. It's not any more significant. Until she had a vast stack and they came and arrested her. And the judge sentenced her to several months in jail. Well, her husband, I know it's unusual occurrence, but her husband asked the judge. She was just a little lady that wasn't very smart. You know, to ignore a whole stack of traffic tickets, to keep getting them. I mean, that's not very smart. He asked that he go to jail for her. Now, he wasn't there to just speak it on her behalf. He's willing to be a substitute. He's willing to be an intercessor in jail in her place. And the judge granted that. And so she's home in her bed, in her kitchen, eating at her dining room table, enjoying the privileges of life while he's in jail, serving that several month sentence that was given to her. He was the intercessor. The intercessor can be more than words. Intercessor is when Jesus stepped into your place, when he took your sin. See, and when I go before the Father with words, I have to consider I can be here because of what Jesus did. And Isaiah 53 is so very clear. The message to you is counted among the rebels, bore the sins of many, and interceded for rebels. I want you to see that it was more than words. All God's asking from us is words. Just words to follow the leading of the Spirit on the inside, whether it's in our understanding, whether it's in other tongues, whether it's in English inspired by the Spirit, or whether it's in groanings. He's asking us to stand in their place, to make a heavenly connection. You can do that because you're the body. Jesus is the head, and you're connected to the head. And the head is interceding for the last 2,000 years. And what's on the mind of Jesus becomes in your mind or in your spirit, the spirit of your mind, the mind of your spirit, because you're bonded to him. You know, there's a lot of things that I know that way that you would never know. Because we walk together. We walk together over 45 years now. And someone asked me one time years ago, that's why I always use which is exactly what this kid's going to make. What's Wayne's favorite color? I said, Wayne doesn't have a favorite color. He doesn't care what color it is. Now, if you want to paint it lime green, he might not like that, but, you know, neon, not exactly the neon colors. He doesn't care what color you paint it. And then I painted the bedroom. When he painted the bedroom, I had 10 colors on the wall. I couldn't make up my mind. He never has an opinion about colors. So you wouldn't know that. Some men are very opinionated. They're not going to do certain things. But Wayne's not opinionated about color. And finally, I couldn't make up my mind. I brought in Suzanne. See, thank God for help or someone to assist you. And that's your part to assist in prayer. Jesus' part was to go for you, to go in your place. And now, since he went for you and cleared the air so that you can come to the Father, he represents you before the Father with words. But before he can represent you with words, he represented you in person with his body, with his flesh, with his spirit, with his mind. He went for you. I brought Suzanne in and I said, which of those colors do you really like? I thought I'd married a Baptist couple. She said, none of those are right. Those are all wrong. So the color that's in there is her fault. I like it. I didn't pick it. I like it. But she helped me. She said, first of all, those colors aren't warm enough. I said, okay, show me a color that you think is warm enough. She said, is this comfort going anywhere? I said, no, it is not going anywhere today. It will be here maybe several years. Who knows? You know, stuff happens. You forget how long you've had something. Then one day you wake up and think, I am finished. Well, some people are finished with sin. They don't know how to get out. They're finished, but they're trapped. That's intercession. It's your words before the Father. The prayer is duplicating the mind of the Father. And you can duplicate the mind of the Father because you have the Word and the Spirit of the living God in you because you're the body and he's the head. And the body's joined to the head. And the body, you know, there isn't much that happens in your body that your head wouldn't be aware. Your head would say, oh, I didn't know you had a stomachache. Nobody knows. And the head of the church, it says all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do that. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. And I love that verse. It means God knows. And Jesus knows. And he's saying the right thing. And I don't know what to say, but I have a part to play. There is a God in heaven, Jesus himself, who's interceding before the Father, who's speaking words before the Father. And my part is to connect with him and speak those same words on earth. Just why is that necessary? Because of the authority you have on earth. Because God gave authority to Adam. He said, Adam, you have authority over the world. And Jesus came to establish his people in a place of authority. You know, nobody has authority over you but you. Nobody can make you, force you to do anything. You have authority. And so people on earth have great authority. And that's why earth has to speak in conjunction with heaven. Earth and heaven speak together. But thank God we can by the Spirit. And we're just going to go as far as the Spirit goes. By the Spirit's through, I'm through. And I'm not going to look back at it. Here's what we did. We did get through. We prayed it through. We felt good about it. We felt released for it. The next day I saw you and you still look awful. And I think, oh, and I just go back and I re-pray. Do you do that? Do not re-pray based on sight. Do not re-pray based on senses. The fact that you hadn't got it yet doesn't mean I didn't send it yesterday. If you're going to re-pray, you re-pray based on the urgency of the Spirit inside. It's because something different has happened since you prayed. And there is a sense in the Spirit you can add more words to what you said. That's the only reason I won't pray twice. And that happens a lot. You pray, especially when you're praying for government, some things are shifting all the time. It's like yesterday, we were solved yesterday. Today, there's the new marble on the, they used to play those marble games. Well, we used to play jacks too, you know. There's a new something happening, a new game out, and because something is new, the Spirit's stirring, you have to add words to what you said yesterday. I'm not adding words because I saw you and you looked terrible. I'm not adding words because you came by and said, you know, we're not going to pay that bill. I'm not praying based on anything that was said or done, anything earthly, anything temporal, anything that's of sight, anything that's of the intellect. I'm simply praying because, once again, the Holy Spirit has stirred me to add to what I said yesterday. Now, here's the work of Jesus. He interceded. He went in your place like that little man went for his wife. And in intercession, though it's simply words and not deeds, Jesus was an intercessory deed. It was an act of intercession. Yours are words of intercession, but the process is the same. But why? Jesus represented you on the cross and in hell and won the victory for you. And the process is the same. It's through words, inspired of the Spirit, I'm going to win the victory for you. Because the Holy Spirit has nudged me and said I could do that. Years ago on a weekend, my brother was still a student in Texas. And I had a sense of disaster. A sense of death. And I prayed Friday, and I prayed Saturday, and I prayed Sunday. I couldn't. No matter how I pray, my heart's not satisfied. It's just not enough. I haven't said enough. I haven't done enough. Not realizing there comes a point where you need help. So on Monday, I called her and said, what are you doing? Come back and pray for my brother. And she came. Well, she's denominational like we were denominational originally. And denominations teach that you should die to self. There's nothing farther from the truth. The flesh dies, not the self. The self is the spirit. The spirit rises up in the fullness of the Godhead. Rises up with the life and nature of God. I said, well, that's not right. This is physical death. He's going to die. Well, we prayed all morning until just after lunch. And after lunch, I said, that's it. There was a sense we finally solved it. You know, some things don't take much time. Some things take a lot of time. You can't quit till the Holy Ghost quits. I read about a little man who prayed for his daughter, missionary, and for over 9 hours he prayed in other tongues. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but it happens. And that comes a point where I prayed with a lady the other day. She said, I can't do this by myself. And I began to pray, and I thought, I know I can't do it by myself. This is a big deal. I didn't know what the big deal is. She didn't know what the big deal is, but it was a big deal. And we prayed. And we gathered some other people to pray. Those things happen. Thank God, the body of Christ. You know, the arm helps the leg, and the leg helps the, you know, we have all these different members, the stomach, the liver. They're not anti one another. They're working together. If you become anti one another, you've got a problem. Now look at verse 5 of chapter 53. I will speak words of intercession. Jesus was an act of intercession. He was there. He was there in your place. He took your sin. He was wounded for our. That's a good word. Our. Oh, you are. Yours and mine, the sins of the world, transgressions of the world. He was bruised for our. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The iniquity of how many? Us all. All us, our, we. And so the Lord laid sin on him. Why? He's going to be the intercessor. He's going to be the David. He's going to be the mediator. He's going to go in your place. He's going to take the punishment. The wages of sin is death. The reason the wages of sin is not death for you is because you have eternal life. Because you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. But the wages of sin is always death. And you get back as a Christian, get over into sin, you're on the wrong path. You're on a path that Satan has cursed. You need to get off that path. But sometimes God calls on people to help us. And there are some situations that aren't going to be solved unless somebody prays. It just isn't going to happen. Just have a person by themselves. It doesn't matter how much knowledge they have, bulldog tenacity, strength, family support. Some things are not going to be solved without intercessors, without prayers. It just isn't going to happen. A lot of those soldiers would never have escaped had it not been for Monopoly. But see, they sent out word in advance to every soldier when they trained them and they were sent them to the battlefront. If you get captured, play Monopoly. So they knew. They were looking for Monopoly. God's got real money. It had a phenomenal thing. Phenomenal point of trivia. He was wounded for our. And since verse 12 again, he made intercession. When did he make intercession? The day God laid sin upon him on the cross. Now, from the cross into Acts chapter 2, he faced Satan in a place of degradation. People don't like that, but I didn't write it. Just read it to you. One man, precious little Episcopalian man, he said to me, that's not right. He said, Jesus didn't go to hell. Even though he's looking at it, he knows I'm wrong. And I just read it to him. It's in verse 27, chapter 2. Because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who's the Holy One? It's Jesus. And he was in hell. Why? Because he's going to intercede. He's going to stand in your place. You know, if I go down to pay your electric bill, you will have to pay it. You go down to pay it, they say, somebody's already been here and paid that bill. See, Jesus paid because you didn't have to. I would go all the way to pay your electric bill prompted by the Spirit, and perhaps you didn't have a way to pay it. Suzanne was in a car accident years ago, but she still lived at home, and Wayne worked for the city, and so he had a city car, and on his way home, he drove by because these people weren't going to pay. He drove by to speak kind words to them about their responsibility. When it got there, they didn't have electricity. There's no way they're going to pay. They can't even keep their lights on. You can see that. They can't pay. And he said, you can forget it, Becky. We're going to handle this ourselves. And we did. God helped us. There was no help from them. They didn't have. Even though there's no help, the sinner can't bail himself out. If there's not an intercessor, he's stuck in sin. If there's not an intercessor, he's stuck in hell. If there's not an intercessor, he's stuck in corruption. Well, Jesus said, I'll be an intercessor. I'll go for you. Not I'll speak for you, I'll go for you. And he speaks for you today because he went for you yesterday. And all he's asking of me is what a dignity that gives to prayer. the Spirit and stand where the Spirit is saying, and stand and say what the Spirit is saying, and bring the relief and the release that people need. But that means that you send it to them. There are people that spit in the face of Holy Ghost release. You can't fix that. You did your part. But I. You have to let, you have to trust God. You have to trust Him. Now, this is repeated in verse 31. He's saying this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh saw corruption. You know you can't be left anywhere you haven't been. Is that profound? When we were in Germany, I was almost, Wayne parked the car, we don't speak German, he parked in the wrong place. We had been over there for a meeting, and he dropped me off with the luggage, and then he went and parked the car and turned the keys in. The lady said, you know, you parked that, you need to move that car. So he looked at his watch, and he ran, moved the car, but still can't speak German. He looking for a symbol of the car coming, but there wasn't one anywhere, and so he parked in another spot. So he runs back with the keys, and she looked at his ticket, and she said, that's not the right spot either. And he said, I can't read the sign, I don't know where to park, but you don't have a sign out there with a symbol of any kind that I recognize. He said, I have to catch my plane. And I'm sitting there watching. Germany, the airports are guarded by massive dogs and guards that look like machine guns to me. I don't know one gun for another. It looks like a really big deal. And I'm sitting there passing back and forth, and I don't speak English. I'm sitting with all my luggage, and there's no Wayne Covey. I thought I was left. And I saw him at the ball come running. Well, you know what they did? They parked that car for him. They did send me a bill, by the way. They did. They sent me a bill. Wayne told them, send us a bill. So they did. From the German airport, we got a bill for $20 for reparking the car. And we were glad to pay that. We'd have paid that to start with if we'd have known it was possible. Some people don't know the possibility. They don't know the route out. They don't know deliverance. They don't know freedom. But you represent them before the Father. Hey, you may not know how to represent them, but you're connected with Jesus. He knows what to say. Put your mouth and your heart in agreement with Him today, and then what He says will be adequate to bring deliverance and freedom. It'll bring release. You know, I always said people are offended by that, but I'm not offended that praying in tongues for ignorant people. And then there's a large truth to that. If you knew what to say, you could say it. I was praying for a little lady came in on behalf of her son, and she said, he's this, that, blah, 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 blah. He was going to court over some things, and I assumed that she's going to say he's innocent, you know. And I thought that's what she's going to say. And she comes down after the long story. I got all the details. You know, it's a lot of uh-huhs. She said, oh, yeah, he's guilty. I was brand new at Pentecost, brand new at praying in other tongues. I didn't have a clue what to do. Not a clue. I said, well, I will pray. I will consider that request and I take to the Father. But I don't know what to do, so I just prayed in other tongues because I didn't think of anything else. But I didn't know that was the right thing to do. As I began to pray in other tongues, I began to cry out to the Lord. But I switched back to English. See, there's English because there's English in your understanding because you know the word and you know the situation. But then there's English that's prompted by the Spirit, prophetic in nature. And I began to cry out for mercy. I began to say, Lord, have mercy. The most phenomenal thing happened. It was the last case on a long court knock, and the judge recognized it from a previous encounter and said, you can go home. I'll talk to you later. That was it. You know how he got that? Because we prayed. His mama didn't know how to bring that to him. But we prayed. See, we prayed. What dignity intercession has, standing for another. Jesus stood in your place. He actually went to hell. That's intercession. That's mediation. Also, Corinthians uses the word reconciliation. Someone who reconciles a marriage brings the two parties together, tries to bring in compromise. Well, there's no compromise with God. The only party that's going to change in reconciliation is you. Well, thank God Jesus doesn't have to make the changes. God didn't have to make the changes. We'd be in trouble if God wasn't secure and sure and steadfast with me. But the word reconciliation, it always talks about us being reconciled to God. It never talks about God being reconciled to us because God, if God didn't reconcile to you, then he was originally mad at you and now he decided to be glad at you. And that's not true, for God loved the world. And he always loved the world. But you have to be reconciled to him. And just by opening that door, by going for you, by paying the price for you. Now, you know Galatians chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took the curse. God laid sin on him and the curse that came because of sin, and he took the curse and went to hell and paid the price, defeated the Satan, and then said to you, you weren't even there except in the mind and heart of God, and said, now go free. Because he was an assessor. He was a daysman. He was an umpire. He was a mediator. He was a reconciler. All of those are similar terms. He went for you. He was in your place. He was in hell for you. He defeated Satan for you. It says, him who knew no sin became sin. How did he become sin? So God laid on him. That's intercession. Now, we don't do that kind of intercession where I go for you. If some things, you know, if you have a financial dilemma, I might go, well, yeah, I can get $100, but if you need $7,000, I probably can't help you. There's some things I can't do for you. There's some things I can't do in your place, but the one thing I can always do, the one thing God calls a way to do is to pray. Isn't that amazing? Now turn to Daniel chapter 9, and let me show you this. Daniel read the word and realized Israel was being captive only 70 years, and that 70 years was just about up. That's what you have in chapter 9. And when he realized 70 years was about up, verse 3 said, I set my face into the Lord God to seek thy prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession, said, O Lord, the great and dreadful, which said also, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We's not even there. There's nobody there but Daniel. Nobody asking for help. Nobody knows what's going on but Daniel. It doesn't make any difference what they know, what they think. Do you know what they need? Is God moving in your spirit? Is he urging you to take a part? Daniel said, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judges. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in the name of our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to thee, but unto us belongs confusion of face, which would be shame. Now look at verse 8. O Lord, to us belongs confusion or shame, to our kings, to our princes, to our gods, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs what? Mercy and forgiveness. He's going on behalf of a nation. What great relief that brings to us in these days. He's going on behalf of a nation and said, we have sinned. We's not even there. King's probably in palace counting out his money, eating bread and honey. You know that old poem? But Daniel saw it in the word. I just see in the word all your needs are supposed to be met. You're the head and not tail. You're above and not beneath. I see it in the word. I can pray the word. And then if that doesn't make me happy, if my heart's not happy with that, I'm just going to go further. And I'm going to go further. And I'm going to go as far as the Holy Ghost does. And when the Holy Ghost is finished, I'm finished. And if I can't do it by myself, I'm going to call you to come to the house and help me. I've already done that a couple times. Thank God for help. Now, here's what he said. To the Lord belongs mercy and forgiveness because we rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord to walk in your ways. Then verse 11, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us. Where did the curse come from? Sin. But who bore the curse for you? Who went to hell in your place? Either Jesus goes or you go. If you accept his death and resurrection, you don't have to go. You see, he went for you. He did it for you. That's intercession. He was a mediator for you. He stood between God and man to bring reconciliation. He did that in your place. It wasn't words. And when we talk to Isaiah 53, it said he made intercession. It means he was there. It's not just words. It's an act of intercession. It's far beyond the words that we're going to speak in prayer. Now, turn to the same chapter. All the way down to verse 18. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. He says, I'm not here based on righteousness, right deeds, right acts, right behavior. He says, I'm here because you're merciful. He's asking the God of all comfort, the God of mercy, to bring mercy on a people who haven't asked for mercy. Now let me show you in verse 13, I really love that. As it is written, the law of Moses, all this evil came upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might be turned from our iniquities and understand the truth. Here's the people in trouble that didn't even turn to God to help when they were in trouble. That's what this verse says. They were in big trouble, and they didn't even turn to God in their trouble. So all this evil came upon us. Yet, even though we were in trouble, we didn't pray. We didn't turn to God. You know, when you work altars, we did that for years. Wayne and I did altar counseling in building number 1-2. And you can tell when somebody's answered out the call or come to Jesus because they're in big trouble. It's amazing how trouble brings a lot of people to Jesus. We're glad for that. Not about the trouble, but that they found the solution to their trouble. It's Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. And when I said to one man, so you're recently divorced. I didn't even mean hardly to say that. He said, how'd you know that? I said, there's a stirring in the spirit. And he's come to God because he didn't know what to do. He's separated from his family. He can't bring reconciliation. So he came to church. That was a good solution for him. It wasn't the cause of the problem, but it is part of his solution, and he came. He said, here's the people. He said, these people are disobedient, broke all the laws. None of the prophets listen. None of the prophets can kill the prophets. And they're in big trouble, and the curse has come upon them. They're in a foreign land under foreign captivity, and still they're not praying. But see, Daniel prayed. What dignity that gives to intercession. My, doesn't that help you? That helps me so much. I don't care if you don't want help. I'm praying you get it. And I'm not praying because you did the right thing. I'm praying because God's merciful. Because he's a merciful Father. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace. You are welcome. You are welcome. Welcome in this place. If you take the little words for us, and track them down through the scripture over and over. It says, and he did this for us. So his blood was shed for us. Now let me show you one verse in Hebrews. Or maybe two. We got time for two. I talked faster than I got through earlier. Somebody said, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish I didn't have to, but there's some in the spirit that just flows that way through me, so get the CD and hear it again. Chapter 9. I tried to slow down once, it didn't work. Look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. What did he do that for? Who did he intercede for? See, intercession is to speak words for one person to represent a second person to a third person. And Jesus represented you in your sin before the Father. The sins of the entire world he represented before the Father. The scripture uses the word propitiation. Propitiator is one who pays the full price. I can go down and say, I'm going to pay half price if you turn on the electricity. We've already done that. We helped some people do that. They said we could pay half if they turn the electricity back on. The city said they would do that. And so they pay full price. Jesus paid full price. The propitiation pays the full price, the entire bill. He paid the entire bill for the sins of the world. He did that for you. He stood in your place. He was there in hell. And you don't have to be, you see. And so when I pray, I'm just picking up on the mind of God, connecting with Jesus' mind, him who knows all things, and doing for you what you cannot or will not or don't want to do for yourself because God's in it and God stirs it. That's right. Now here's the verse I want you to see. Verse 26. Then must Jesus often have been suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Do you know what that word put away means? You look it up in the Greek, means to cancel. That's why I can pray for you. Because your sin's been canceled. You don't know it. But it has been. Most of you don't know that. Sin's been paid for. Your bill's been paid. You can be ugly, unkind. You can run from God as fast as you will run. But your sin's been paid for. It's been canceled. Jesus paid it all. We sing that every now and then. Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. It's been paid for. That's why I can intercede. That's why I can go before the Father and stand in your place. Represent your case. Represent you beyond my even understanding of what you're dealing with. Is that amazing? Is that phenomenal? We thank you, our Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for understanding that you bring us continual understanding. Oh, we're so honored, our Father, you teach us, that you flow through us, that we can all gather around your word, and we can grow in the word, because we grow in the word, we grow in deeds birthed by the word. We grow in action, and we are to be a people of action, and prayer is action. We thank you, our Father.